Today on the podcast, we are talking about these winter seasons of faith. So if you feel like you are in a season of doubt, of trials, or if you feel like you want to prepare for those seasons, this episode is for you. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of season one of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We are starting a new series today on how to overcome winter seasons. And I just want to encourage you, if you are interested in any of these things, I have a free printable resource that you can find in the show notes or in the comment section below. You can also comment if you're on YouTube to let me know what you're thinking. And I would love to get your feedback on any of our previous episodes or this episode. You can do that by leaving a 1 to 2 sentence review of the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. So now on to the episode. One thing I've noticed over the past several weeks is that winter light just hits different. One of the things that we start to see in wintertime is that the light kind of becomes like this pale gray. And that is a lot different than the vibrant, you know, yellows and hues and these like golden days of summer. And so as we spend time outside, you know, winter, it just feels different. I think we can see that in winter, everything kind of feels a little bit flat, a little bit colorless. And it just makes me think, why is this the case? You know, I wonder how winter, people dealt with winter in the past. You read these stories of people who had to kind of sit there and weather through these really difficult times. But I think in some cases, winter wasn't just this great evil in the past. Yes, it could be. But for some people who prepared for it, I think they relished this time. I was just listening to a podcast that talked about night and about the importance of night. And it talks about how we really need bright days and dark nights for our sleep schedule to be good, to have all the things that we need to happen in our body chemically to have that happen. And so I think about this with winter as well. You know, we think of winter and we think of darkness, we think of night as sometimes these like evils, right? That if we just didn't have to worry about this. But I think, and I truly believe that God created this order of summer and winter, of day and night in our lives for a reason. I don't think that this was something that was a result of the brokenness of sin. I think it was something that he built because he knew that it was important for us. As people started to have, you know, these new technologies, and really this started mostly with the electric light, because before that, in the podcast on light, they were talking about how really these, you know, gas lamps and these candles, they emit a really small amount of light, and that really didn't affect how bright, you know, cities were, how bright your home was. It didn't really add to a lot of light pollution. But with the advent of electric light, that kind of changed the entire landscape. And I mean, I live in a place like this. Most people now do not live in a place where you can see the Milky Way. Like, you don't become confronted with the awe of a night sky. I remember I was on a trip and we went to, you know, Yellowstone National Park. And that was the first time that I had seen that many stars in the sky. And I don't live in a city. You know, I live in, it's not super rural, but I do live, you know, where you have pastures everywhere with cows and all that kind of stuff. And even here, I see the effects of light pollution, where the brightest thing in the sky is not just the stars. The brightest thing in the sky is the city that's off in the distance, about 30 miles away. And so as we think about this, I think we live in this state, this place, like I talked about in the episode on our cyclical schedules. We live in this time where we want to keep everything the same. So we try to darken the days by staying inside and then lighten up the nights by having light. And so I wonder how sometimes we do the same thing, where we want to darken our summers of life and brighten up our winters of life. And I think we do that, you know, if we think about literally, we want to make everything the same temperature and always kind of stay in the same kind of comfort zone of about 70 degrees, give or take 5 degrees. But I think figuratively, we also do this as well. If you think about our life happens in seasons, right? And we talk about this with thinking of summer. Normally with summer, that's this time of work and, you know, abundance, prosperity. If you think of fall, fall is kind of this change. You have winter, which is this like rest time. And then spring is the beginning of new birth, new life. And I think we have these seasons in life, and it could be a season that lasts, you know, a few weeks or a few months. It could be a season that lasts a few years. So our seasons don't always line up with the literal season. But I think we can learn a lot by looking at these seasons in life. Because again, I think sometimes we look at our seasons and anything that would be a winter season, you know, this kind of season of night, we view these as a great evil. And we view them as there's something wrong with the situation or there's something wrong with us if we are going through these times. But I think that really these are just, this is just living life. And so we need to figure out how to deal with these winter seasons. As we think about this, I want you to ask yourself, the first question you need to figure out is, what season are you in right now? Do you feel like you're in the season of new life? Are you feeling like you're in the season of productivity and work? Are you feeling like you're in the season of harvest and change and kind of storing up and preparing? What season are you in? We all experience these winter seasons. I've been reading a book called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot, which is a fantastic book. Elizabeth Elliot's life is such a such a inspiration to me. And you can learn more about her life in our episode on how to make your dreams and goals. And you can find that in an episode that I'll link to in the show notes. But Elizabeth Elliot, she dedicated her life to serving God. And one of the things that she wrestled with is, how can she serve God well? So whenever she married her husband, she went to Ecuador and she started working with the people in the jungle tribes there. And while she was there, her husband went to a particularly homicidal tribe, and he actually got killed trying to minister to that tribe. And I talked about that in that episode. But the thing about her is that she was no stranger to winter seasons. Before she even went to the tribes, she dealt with some doubt. She dealt with some confusion. She dealt with some emotional times as she was, you know, dating, or she had lots of letters with her husband, her future husband, Jim. And so she dealt with winter seasons of trying to figure out what to do about their relationship. She was no stranger to these winter seasons. And I think if you look at her life, she had two options. Her first option was she could forget about God, that she felt like, okay, God, I did all of this. I've left my family. I've left, you know, the U.S. I've been living in a jungle eating, you know, who knows what. And I have dealt with, you know, helping people through childbirth and dealing with death. And I have, you know, almost risked my life multiple times. And so she could have said, God, I've given you all these things and you repay me with taking my husband from me. And in that winter season, she could have rejected God. Or she could do, and this is what she did, she could lean into God during those winter seasons and use those winter seasons to establish her belief in the sovereignty of God and her belief that God would see her through this situation. So after her husband's death, she did not leave the jungle. And in fact, she prayed earnestly to go and minister to the people that she that had killed her husband. After years of or months of praying for this, she actually had two people from that tribe that just showed up one day in her village, and they decided to live there with her. One of the things that she was doing is she wasn't just preaching, she was also trying to translate the Bible. And that was one of her, you know, lasting contributions to missions, is that she did a lot of linguistic work, where she would try to figure out how to write down these languages, especially the languages like the one of this tribe that, you know, it had never been written before. And so she worked on this, and through her prayers, she was able to make significant headway in that language. And then she also was able to go, and eventually she went and lived in that village. So, you know, she agonized over these decisions. And for a while, she felt like, God, why are you not answering my prayers? But the goal and the thing that she kept coming back to is she said, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to trust in you because I know that ultimately it's for your plan. And for her, she didn't know what that plan was, but she knew as long as she was doing the next right thing, as long as she was moving forward, she was going to be doing something for the glory of God. So I think as we look at our lives, we all have to choose how we're going to respond to these winter seasons. And we all are faced with these two options. We could choose to trust in God more, or we can choose to turn away from Him. One of the things that we've been talking about for the past month on the podcast is we've been doing a deep dive into goals. And so I think it's so important, and I've said this several times over the past few weeks, that we all recognize that we can do amazing, big things for God's kingdom. And so we need to set our minds to how we can glorify His kingdom. We need to have purpose. We need to have action. We don't need to be rudderless necessarily. We need to try to move forward in God's kingdom. But one of the things that kind of was an undercurrent as I kept thinking about this and thinking about how people could put into practice some of the things that we've talked about, one of the things that I kept coming back to is this idea of like, well, you know, what if I'm sitting over, you know, having a conversation with somebody and we're having a cup of coffee and then they look at me and they're like, well, what if I just don't feel like it? You know, it's great if you feel like you are in this season where you want to hustle and do good things and try to meet your goals and plan. But what if you're in a season where all of this stuff, you're like, I just can't. I don't feel like it for whatever reason. It could be because you're too busy. It could be because your heart's just not in it. It could be because you have no energy left to give. You are focused on survival. What do you do then? I think that vocalizing this, you might feel a little bit selfish. You're like, can I even say that? But I think we've all had that response where we know that there's things that we should do, but there's times in our lives where we just don't feel like it. Sometimes it's just a struggle to maintain that status quo. We might feel listless. Again, we might feel burnt out. We might want and know that we should keep up with our daily habits, but that is a struggle for us. We're not going to do anything over trying to just keep up with our daily process, daily habits, the daily things we need to do because we have nothing left to give. So what do we do then? I call these moments in our lives, these are our winter seasons. And it's commonly known that there is a condition that happens during the winter called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, that affects you. And some of the effects, I'll read them to you, but it occurs because we have less sunshine and, you know, less vitamin D and other reasons. Especially if you go further and further up north, you just have less time out in the sun. And so it's dark more. And all of these things lead to some physical responses to winter. So some of these physical responses are feeling listless, down, sad, losing interest in what you're doing, maybe overeating or kind of craving carbs. You might want to sleep more. You might have difficulty concentrating, feeling hopeless. You might even have contemplations of, you know, more depressive thoughts. And so the seasonal affective disorder, it literally happens in the wintertime. A lot of people, they go through winter and they feel this disorder every winter. And it kind of comes like clockwork, just like allergies, because of being inside so much and not being out in nature. The winter season itself can literally make us feel sad. It can bring on these symptoms that really mimic the symptoms of depression. You know, I've experienced this myself in the past month where we had a great holiday season and it was, you know, breakneck speed. And then I've mentioned this before in the podcast, after, you know, after all that happened, there was this time where I was sick and then we were inside. It rained a lot. You know, we don't get snow here, but it rained constantly for a couple weeks. And I started to feel a little bit listless, a little rudderless. I didn't have as much, you know, gumption, much energy to try to go and do the things that I needed to do. And I think, you know, literal winter, physical winter, the season of winter can make us feel these things. And I think this echoes to these winter seasons in life where they also make us feel these things. A winter season of life is a spiritual time where we have this kind of emotional response that normally makes us feel sad. And so some of the things that you might cause a winter season, you might be in a winter season, if you are in a period of difficult suffering, maybe a period of doubt, maybe a period of spiritual warfare. It could be a time that's, you know, this busy busy time in your life that leads to kind of a busy dry spell in your faith where you're doing a lot of things, but you're not really feeling like your heart is in it. It could be a time of loneliness, a time of change and turmoil, whether that turmoil is from relationships or from your job, or you just don't feel peace in your heart. It could also be a time of a sin shame spiral where you're doing a sin and then you feel shame because of that. And so you do it more and then you kind of isolate yourself. So all of these times can be times of a winter season in your faith. And you'll recognize, you know, I have a series on the blog about wilderness periods in our life. And one of the things about a wilderness period in our life is that the wilderness can be caused by your own sin. You know, there's times where if you look at David, David went through things and had consequences because he sinned. And so it can be caused by your own sin. The Israelites, part of the reason why they were in the wilderness is because they sinned and disobeyed God. But the wilderness can also be caused because of, you know, outside things outside of your control. So it's not always, you know, Jesus was led into the wilderness. So there's things that can be in your control, like a sin shame spiral where you need to break out of that sin. And there's things that are outside of your control. But regardless, both of those things lead to a winter season. It's not always your fault. And a lot of times it isn't your fault, but we need to take responsibility if there are things that we're doing that are contributing to this wilderness season. Sometimes the winter seasons match up with the literal seasons, but like I said, sometimes they can last for weeks, months, sometimes even years. And I think, you know, after the holidays, we often see this kind of winter season in our faith because after the busyness of the holidays, you kind of settle into this routine and life kind of takes over. And a lot of times you get a little bit lost, like you're not seeking that connection with other people. And so you might not be emphasizing trying to build connections that point you to God and building that connection with God. So sometimes that leads to this loneliness and this listlessness, this feeling of a winter season. But other times it can be a shorter or a longer period depending on what's going on in your life. Generally, a winter season, it's characterized by a sense of rudderlessness, so a lack of purpose. It's characterized by a lack of action, a lack of connection, a lack of joy, and a lack of confidence. So you might feel listless and lonely, sad, and a little bit hopeless, a little bit shameful. In winter seasons, we often struggle with this feeling of lack. Just like in a barren season in winter, so all the leaves fall off the trees and it looks barren. It looks like there's not much life there. We feel like in winter that we're not producing much, that there's not much growth. And because of that, I think we say, okay, well, there's no reason for this winter season. But truly, I don't think that's the case. I think the barrenness of winter is misleading. I think God creates the certain order in creation for a reason, just like he created the order of the day and night, and we need that rest in the nighttime, and the order of the Sabbath where we need that rest then. We need this time of rest in the winter. And there are some physical benefits for winter. So one thing that I didn't realize is that in winter, trees, they take the energy that they would normally use to grow, you know, outward and upward, and they use that to grow deep in their roots. So their roots actually go deeper in winters. It's also a time that their hardiness is kind of strengthened. So some trees, they even kind of secrete this, like, I don't know what you would call it, but basically it's something that covers the leaves. So think of like evergreen trees and things, but it's basically like antifreeze for the leaves. And so if you have a perennial plant that's alive year after year after year, that first season makes the plant hardy. And even whenever you're growing seedlings and things, you want to put them out in the cold so they get more hardy. So you try to, gradually get a plant used to being outside. So that's another important thing that winter does. It's also a time to produce new fruit. You know, during the winter, this is the time where, you know, at the end of the harvest, the seeds get spread. And normally there's this time of kind of barrenness and this waiting time before the fruit can actually start to grow. And so once it starts to warm back up again, then we see that fruit there, it starts to grow and germinate, and eventually you'll have a harvest. But the thing is, the winter season, it had to go and get settled and find the place that it needed to be able to germinate and put down roots and all of those things. So I think the there's other physical benefits that we could get from winter as well. There are certain crops that only grow in winter. You know, maple syrup, you can only get it in the wintertime because of the way that the tree creates the syrup. But in all of these instances, I think it's important to say that winter is not just a time of barrenness and a time that should be avoided. Times of sadness, yes, sadness are normally a response to something that's broken in the world, maybe because of doubt, maybe because of sickness or something like that. But I think it's much more fruitful to embrace this time and figure out how we can handle this time well, rather than viewing this time as this great evil that should be avoided at all cost, even if that cost means denying that it happened or trying to avoid it or not dealing with it, kind of tamping it down and compartmentalizing it. So a plant has two responses to a winter season. A plant could weather the winter or it could die. And I think our faith has two responses to the winter seasons as well. Our faith could weather the winter seasons and get stronger, or our faith could wither away and die because of those winter seasons. I think Elizabeth Elliot, if you look at her life, she dealt with that doubt and that questioning. But through all of this, she started to reaffirm her faith. She had a lot of knowledge. She grew up in a very Christian household. They would do, you know, these little family worship gatherings in the morning and at night. She went to a Christian boarding school. She went to Wheaton College. And so she was definitely immersed in a Christian lifestyle, and she knew her Bible. She was passionate about God. But all of that is to say, the times of the winter seasons of her faith, it grew her up and it matured her faith, where she became wizened to how to live for God well, not just sometimes the, you know, the recklessness of youth. Even if you're passionate and you have zeal, you could still be reckless. You could still be a little foolish whenever you are young, even if you're trying, you mean well. But through that suffering, she grew wiser. And so I think after the season that she dealt with, she saw that fruit that was 10, 30, 100 times more than what was planted. We have to choose how we're going to respond to our winter seasons. And so I pray that your response to a winter season is to let it grow and develop your faith. So one thing that I want to do now is I want to look at two different topics about our winter season. The first is how to prepare for a winter season. And then the second is how to weather a winter season in your faith. We know what our goal should be. We want to weather that season well and end up at the end of that winter season with a stronger faith, despite whatever circumstances happen at the end of that season. We want a stronger faith. And so I think the two things we need to do is we need to prepare for it and then weather it well. Now, to prepare for the winter season, we have to be mindful that they do happen. I think all of us are going to be destined to have winter seasons. And for some of you guys, that might be like, duh. But the thing is, if you believe that, then it puts a lot more urgency on preparing for that winter season. How do you prepare your faith to handle that turmoil, that change, that doubt? Well, I think the first thing is you need to store up nutrients. Trees and plants that are perennials, they actually have a place where they store up nutrients. So while they're still producing food, they send that down to their roots and they have little storage like areas and they put all of the nutrients there. So they store up nutrients for the winter, just like animals do and just like humans used to do before grocery stores. And so, you know, for us, whenever we want to store up nutrients, we need to store up truth. And how do you do this? Well, we need to actually be searching out truth regularly and memorizing it. So we have to go and read our Bibles. We have to listen to people that are wise. We have to listen to podcasts, sermons, go to church regularly. We have to store up all of these things. And then not just hear all of this stuff, but we have to take it and apply it and memorize it. We have to remember what we are learning. We have to internalize these things. And this can be done through talking about it with other people, being in accountability groups where you kind of talk about it. So things like Bible studies at church, having a group of friends that help you to live the things that you're learning. Also, just praying about it regularly. All of these things will help you to store up truth and also internalize it. And then you also need to harden and steel yourself to prepare for winter. Like I said, one of the things that some trees do is they send that antifreeze coating, and that hardens them for winter. So whenever the freeze comes, especially in places with snow, their leaves don't get, frozen and then they die. If you've ever been in a place where everything's trying to be springtime and it's not time yet and it freezes again, you know what happens. A lot of times it'll like burn the leaves. And so they have to harden themselves to prepare. And so you need to think about yourself. How can you prepare yourself for those storms? And so I think part of this is storing up truth, but part of it is recognizing that you need to almost steel your emotions, steel yourself for the spiritual battles that you may face. There are going to be times where your faith is tested. And so you need to hold fast and cling to the truth. You have to search out what you believe about God and then make sure that you are reminding yourself of that so that whenever those dark times come, you can rest and trust in that. If you don't know what you believe, the beliefs are never going to handle the storms of life. Now, once you've prepared yourself for winter, so you've stored those nutrients, you've hardened and steeled yourself for those spiritual battles, then you need to weather the winter season. So when they come, and they will come, then you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to stand strong and maintain my faith during these winter seasons? I think the first thing that you should do is you should focus then on sending your roots deep. So I think there's times to, you know, expand maybe what you're believing. So maybe test truths and try to research things, try to get to the bottom of things. I do think that that is important to search out truth. But in a winter season, I think it's a good time to kind of get back to the basics. You need to remind yourself who God is, what he said about you, the basic truths of the Bible, and you can do other things to try to expand what you know about the Bible. But I think if your roots are not deep, sometimes you can kind of walk yourself into a corner where you're listening to people that may not be preaching what's in the Bible, but you might be in such a bad place that you're not able to use that discernment that you need in order to understand what they're saying. And so I think the first thing that you need to do in a winter season is, again, you got to send your roots deep. And part of that is you are clinging to the truth. Now, what does it mean to cling to something? I think if you look at this, I think of the image in my mind, kind of like the Titanic, I don't know, where these people are clinging to like barrels and they are trying to make sure that they don't fall off. So they're clinging to it for dear life. You could think of if you're falling and you have a rope and you're holding onto it, you're clinging to that to dear life. And so I think with this, you're grasping onto it and you will not let go because you know that your salvation is contingent on you holding fast to what you believe. I think that is the same thing. If you look at your winter seasons, you want to make sure that you're clinging and you're holding fast to the truth that you know. When you hold fast to something, you're focusing on it only. You're not looking to the right or the left. You're not trying to veer off the path. You recognize that you have your goal and you are trying to get there. You know, unlike Peter, if you think of like the winds and the waves in the boat, you're not looking at these things around you because a lot of times looking at your circumstances in a winter season will make you feel more hopeless. It will make you feel like you nothing you can do will change the situation that you're in. And that is why if you're holding fast, if you're clinging to something, you're looking towards Jesus and you're holding fast to him and the truth of the gospel, the truth of the kingdom, and you're letting everything else fade away. Because if you turn and you look at your circumstances, if you think, why do I feel like this? And you get in the spiral where you're using your feelings as evidence that there's something wrong with you and wrong with your faith will ultimately crumble. You have to turn your focus away from that to God. Plants don't normally need rest like we do, but one thing that does need rest is the soil. We often don't think about this, but if you overuse the soil, obviously at some point your plants will get shorter and shorter and shorter, and then ultimately nothing will grow there because all the nutrients get sucked out of them. Winter is a time that, you know, some people, they plant cover crops, and some people, they just cover, you know, the garden with some kind of compost, plant material, manure, and they let it decay. And that decay ultimately sends nutrients back into the soil to let the plants grow back up again. I think it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing that we don't often think of. If you think about the leaves dropping every year and that turns into plant decay and compost that then gets turned back into the soil where the nutrients can grow back up into the trees, we see this kind of circle, this process of life, of this rest and recovering through the order that God has ordained. I think that that is the same thing in our life. It's not necessarily for plants a rest and recovering, but the soil around them needs that time for rest. So I think as you start to focus on those key tenets of your faith, hopefully you are turning, part of holding fast and clinging to something is that you are adding truth into your life through Bible study and prayer and going and being a part of a church community. And so ultimately you'll start to recover. You'll start to get those nutrients. And so that time becomes a time where you will have that wisdom and that lived experience that will ultimately, the next time of a spring or summer season in your life, the nutrients will lead to more growth and more fruit in the future. And the last thing that you need to do to weather those winter seasons is to remember that hope of spring. Yes, it's hard to deal with winter seasons, but we know that there's hope that there will be a new season, a new day dawning. Though darkness might last for a night, joy comes in the morning. And I think that's something that we need to remind ourselves. There is a hope. And there's a hope, I think, in this life where there will probably be your winter season will end at some point. But even if it doesn't end now, you know, for whatever reason, if it's a sickness or something that is terminal, there is a hope that we have that's more unshakable than any kind of circumstances here. And that hope is the hope of the kingdom. We have that spring season. And a lot of times we don't even see how the seeds that we're throwing, you know, if you think about the parable of the sower, the seeds that we're throwing around, we don't see in our winter season how they could potentially grow in the summer. But then if we look back in hindsight years later, we'll see the effects of that growth over time. It's the same thing in ourselves. Sometimes we don't see the way that things that are planted in us are going to have fruit and bear fruit later on in the midst of our winter seasons. But ultimately, that will happen over time. It may seem hopeless in the winter, but if we have faith, we can hold fast and trust that God is working, even if we can't see it. As we deal rightly with our winter seasons, again, we have this goal that we want to cling to God and cling to our faith and have our faith weather the season. We remember that we need to prepare for the winter seasons, which means that we need to store up nutrients and harden ourselves for those that winter season, those spiritual battles. And then we need to weather the winter seasons well, which means that whenever we're weathering our seasons, we want to send our roots deep, rest and recover and put nutrients back into our life. And then we also want to have that hope of this upcoming spring. All of this will lead to a new attitude for winter seasons. When you deal rightly with a winter season, you're going to change how these times affect you. So instead of having a lack of purpose, you're reminded of God's plan. And so you move from being this rudderless person that you don't know, you're blown and tossed by the wind, to being focused. You move from having a lack of action to moving strategically, doing the things that you need to do to weather that season well. From being listlessness to having these wise actions. You move from having a lack of connection to embracing others. You move from a lack of joy, despite your circumstances, to contentment. And you move from a lack of confidence in what God has in store for you to being sure of what you hope for. When we prepare and weather our winter seasons well, we're going to end up having a testimony that inspires others. You're going to end up with a legacy of faith that you can turn to for yourself, and you can also turn to for other people. You're going to go in wisdom, faithfulness, and holiness. So let's recap. Winter seasons are times filled with maybe spiritual depression, doubt, and loneliness. They could be times where we feel far from God. When we go through these times, we have two options. We can turn towards him or turn away from him. To overcome these seasons and turn towards God, we need to prepare by storing up goodness and truth in our lives. And then we need to weather the winter seasons by being rooted to truth and hardening ourselves in spiritual battles. Now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think about this and maybe some ways that you prepare for the winter seasons in your life or the ways that you weather for the winter seasons in your life. You can leave a comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or you can leave your thoughts by visiting the show notes on my blog at A More Beautiful Life Collective, or leaving a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also head on over to Instagram and you can follow me there and see some other content that I post on there. Don't forget that you have a free printable for how to deal well with winter seasons. You can find those in the show notes. Until next time, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of a More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.